Blog Talk Radio.
Up to the powerful protest music supporting my dear Iranian friends. That's Muse and Uprising. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Thank you so much once again for spending time with me this morning and taking time out of your busy life. Today is Monday, November 7th, 2022. One of the great treasures that the Iranian people have and that they share with the world is their poetry, their poems. And you can think of so many examples of this. Hafez is one of the acclaimed poets, Rumi. But this morning, appropriately, for the revolution that's going on continuously now in Iran, I want to share with us a very brief stanza from a poet. His name is Sadi. He's a Persian poet from the 13th century, and this is so appropriate for the revolution, and it speaks to us that we should never be silent. I want you to hear this poem. Human beings are members of a whole, in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy will remain. If you've no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. That is absolutely right on target. If we fail to support the Iranian people, if we are voiceless for those that can't speak up for themselves, and if we don't support them, and we have no sympathy for their suffering, the name of human you cannot retain. Sadi, a perfect poem for this morning. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I want to feature a very powerful voice for the Iranian people. Her name is Nazanin Boniadi, and she was born in 1980. She's a British actress and activist. And a little about her. She was born in Tehran, Iran, just after the Iranian Revolution. Less than a month after her birth, her parents and her fled from Iran. They became political refugees in London. And as an artist in her young age, she performed the violin and she was fluent in ballet. But I want you to hear about what she does today. She is a spokesperson for Amnesty International. She focuses on the unjust human rights violations against the Iranian people. She has been very outspoken, speaking up for their human rights. She has a career not only as an actress, but as a activist. What I like about Nazanin is her willingness to be controversial, to speak up for the Iranian people. She's never forgot her people in Iran. Now, you might recognize her if you've been following The Lord of the Rings, the Amazon original Rings of Power. She stars in that series. But most importantly, and she would say this, most importantly, Compared to her career as an actress, she is an activist for the Iranian people. What I want to do this morning, then, is I want to feature three sound bites where Nazanin is speaking up for the Iranian people. I will conclude with her speech at the UN Security Council just about a week or so ago. But I want you to hear her and how she is a powerful supporting voice for the Iranian people. Let's listen.
People talk about the women, but brave young men. A 16-year-old boy just got killed too. This is men are standing shoulder to shoulder with the women. And I think that's what's really scaring the regime, because they've spent 43 years segregating and oppressing women, separating them from men. Women have to sit at the back of the bus. Women are banned from sports arenas. Women are segregated from men in the workplace, in the classroom, at beaches. They are seen as half the value of a man in a court of law. That's what women are fighting against. But imagine now men standing shoulder to shoulder with these women and saying, no, no, sisters, our daughters, our mothers alone. That's the power that people have right now, and they are taking over the streets of Iran. It's really, really powerful to see.
Here you have these women who are on the front lines, and they are likely to get beaten at the very least, if not killed, and imprisoned. And yet they're doing it anyway, and I can't help but think, you know, I feel inspired, and I can only draw strength from them, because it's harrowing to watch, hugely inspiring. But my goodness, I've never seen this kind of courage. I think the worry is that we've had uprisings in Iran once a decade, since 1999 and the student uprising in Iran, and 2009 with the Green Movement, and 2019 more recently. And every time they've been silenced, and the security forces have won. And this time, the thing that's unprecedented is that you're seeing people fight back against the security forces, women burning their headscarves, not just waving them, not just taking them off and waving them. And you're seeing a direct message to the authorities that they don't want the Islamic Republic anymore. They're fighting with all they have. The problem is that we need to stand by them. We need to make sure they have internet access. We need to make sure that they're not shut off from the world, so that these deaths and these murders that happen with impunity in Iran. So we owe it to them, I think, not only to be their voices, but to ensure their mechanisms in place to hold the Iranian authorities to account. That needs to happen at the UN level. It needs to happen at head of state. Every country, every member state of the UN needs to actively work towards creating this international mechanism for accountability in Iran.
Nazanin mentioned the UN, and there's a petition on my Facebook page right now that I'm urging you to sign and support. It's Woman Life Freedom. It's womanlifefreedom.today. And it says, I stand in full solidarity with the courageous women and girls of Iran and their allies who are rightfully demanding their basic human rights. We need to remove the Islamic Republic from the UN Commission on the Status for Women, a governing body that needs to maintain credibility for it to serve women and girls worldwide. Join me in signing this declaration today. It's right on my Facebook page. Please come to that page. Let's be a voice. In another way, we share the stories on social media, rightly so. We play the videos, but let's get even more involved by signing this petition. And let's have this governing body has no right to have the Iranian government, the Iranian regime on the UN Commission for the Status for Women. You know, I have some real problems with the UN, but we have to do something in an even more practical way to denounce this horrible commission on the UN on the Status for Women. They're killing the women. They're killing their own girls, their own people. They don't deserve to be on a UN commission for the status of women. So please go to my Facebook page and sign that petition. But I want to keep us up to date. A few things that I posted this morning on my Facebook page. Iranian rapper Saman Yasin has been, of course, sentenced to death. I mentioned this before. There's a picture of him up there. He is a powerful artist, using his gift to be a voice for the people of Iran. So I urge you to pray for Saman, to be his voice, to stop this evil and unjust execution. If there is a petition upcoming, I will post it, and we can all sign it together. And that's so important. Another horrible death in Iran. Am I going to die? Efan Zamani's last words as he took his last breath. Khamenei's thugs shot him, watched him bleed, and the Islamic regime murdered him in cold blood. And another voice we need to be is for Elmira. Elmira lives in the city of Mashhad. That is the same city that my good Iranian friend lives in, that I try to keep in touch with. She is an Iranian TikToker. Elmira Husseini was arrested by the Islamic regime for giving out chocolate in the streets with the rappers that say, "Women, life, and freedom." It is serious. You need to be a voice for her. Now what I want to do, in light of everything I just shared with you, is play the final clip. This is a very powerful speech. Nazanin Boyadi at the UN Security Council. Let's listen.
I now give the floor to activist Nazanin Boyadi, who's sitting here with us today. Thank you for your remarks, Nazanin.
Thank you, Ambassador. Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, good afternoon. In following the powerful remarks of Special Rapporteur Rahman and Dr. Rabadi, I'd like to start by talking a little about the current crisis in Iran, then debunk a couple of myths, and finally, offer a way forward. 2 days ago, I received a message from a relative of a prominent political prisoner in Iran, who I'll avoid naming to protect them from retaliation by the Islamic Republic authorities. It reads, "I ask the United Nations not to be indifferent to the crimes against humanity inside Iran, because they're killing our children. Protesting is the right of every nation, but the Islamic Republic kills protesters with war bullets. Ask the United Nations not to remain silent, because the lives of our political prisoners are in danger, and many have lost their health or died under torture." I've been working in the Iran human rights advocacy space for 14 years now. Never during that time have I witnessed such widespread and committed opposition to the Islamic Republic regime as there is in Iran today. While Iran has become accustomed to mass protests nearly once every decade, neither the student protests of 1999, nor the Green Movement of 2009, nor even the more recent November 2019 protests compare in fervor or magnitude to the current protests, in which, for the first time since the inception of the theocracy in 1979, people are not only openly opposing 83-year-old Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, which they'd started to do in 2017, but are actively fighting back to defend themselves against the security forces and tearing down billboards and burning pictures of the founder of the Islamic Republic, Ayatollah Khomeini. As always, due to the lack of transparency, the number of protesters killed, including women and children, are likely to be much higher than reports suggest. They've been killed with batons to the head and bullets to the neck, even as they ran for their lives. But the most unprecedented part of these protests is that they have been female-led. The murder in custody of the 22-year-old Kurdish-Iranian woman, Mahsa Jina Amini, arrested for inappropriate hijab, was the powder keg moment that ignited this most recent uprising. Women have taken to the streets and are not only removing and waving their headscarves, but setting them ablaze and cutting their hair in protest, despite knowing that they will be arrested and sent to psychological re-education centers, beaten, raped, and even killed. Young schoolgirls are removing their mandatory head coverings and chanting, "We don't want an Islamic Republic." The movement's slogan, Woman, Life, Freedom, is a declaration of opposition to a regime which has built itself on being anti-woman, pro-martyrdom, and repressive. To be clear, this uprising is not just about draconian dress codes. However, the compulsory hijab has become the most visible symbol of the subjugation of Iranian women. Now, Iranian men and women stand shoulder to shoulder against the Islamic Republic's gender apartheid regime that has maintained its power not only through the segregation and oppression of women in Iran, but denial of all Iranians from freedom of expression, association, and assembly, as well as fair trials and due process. Make no mistake about it, the Islamic Republic is a totalitarian system that uses forced confessions and torture against its own citizens to stifle all dissent. According to the World Economic Forum's 2022 Global Gender Gap Report, Iran ranks 143rd of 146 countries. The Islamic Republic exemplifies why countries with the most discriminatory laws and attitudes towards women tend to also experience the greatest turmoil, which in turn compromises international peace and security. This brings us to the first myth, which has sadly been perpetuated not only by representatives of the regime in Iran, but also by global pundits. And that's the myth that compulsory hijab is a cultural issue that we shouldn't interfere with. But you don't need to subjugate people into observing cultural norms, where schoolgirls are defying a lifetime of indoctrination by rising up in classrooms, and people are taking to the streets in their tens of thousands to protest something, despite the risk of death at the hands of the authorities. You can safely assume that's not part of their culture. Coercion that violates human rights has no place in any culture, and Iranians are risking everything for the world to understand this. Another myth is that this regime is reformable. However, the 43-year case study of the Islamic Republic has proven otherwise. The supreme leader has, during this time, consolidated all levers of coercive state power, and Iranians and the world have repeatedly been hoodwinked to think that presidential elections, which have never been free or fair, would make a difference for them. But elections in Iran are theater. The rise to the presidency of Ebrahim Raisi, who has been a pillar of the oppressive state, implicated in crimes against humanity, and whose leadership harkens back to 1980s Iran, is proof enough that a culture of impunity reigns supreme in Iran, and the theocracy is impervious to reform. I firmly believe the future of Iran can only be written by its own people on its own streets. But no country can go it alone in its pursuit of freedom and self-determination. This body has an important role to play in assisting nations in crisis. Because the Islamic Republic isn't just a threat to its own people, its human rights abuses have become one of its primary exports. The catalogue of abuses by the regime in Iran and around the world is well documented. Throughout its history, the Islamic Republic regime has taken foreign hostages to use as political bargaining chips, and it's intimidated, abducted, and assassinated dozens of dissidents beyond its borders, including recent attempts on the lives of prominent writers and activists just miles away from where we're currently gathered. The potential for the current protests to transform Iran from theocracy to representative government could be a geopolitical game changer and the single most important key to bringing about stability in the Middle East. That's why I believe in building global unity and regional capacity against the Islamic Republic's crimes under international law, including human rights abuses. That's what the Iranian people want from us, and to stop turning a blind eye to their suffering in order to fulfill our own political objectives. For decades, we've only responded to the symptoms of the Islamic Republic's hostile activities, with a focus on countering Iran's nuclear ambitions and regional aggression. But in order to address the cause, we must commit ourselves to intelligently supporting the Iranian people's democratic aspirations. What does that look like? We must stand united in fighting corruption and promoting respect for human rights. And the current crisis in Iran calls for us to urgently support the establishment of an international, independent investigative mechanism on the human rights abuses in Iran because there are no avenues for justice domestically in the country. At a time when the Islamic Republic state security forces are once again using disproportionate violence on protesters, it's crucial that we document these human rights violations and atrocity crimes and have mechanisms in place to hold those responsible accountable. It's only with this level of international coordination and support for accountability and justice for the Iranian people that we can address the Islamic Republic itself as the cause of our nuclear and geopolitical concerns. But one thing is clear. Human rights abuses at this scale are a symptom of a deep political malaise and a government considered illegitimate by its own people. Human rights are intricately bound with respect for the rule of law, and there can be no good governance in the long run without the rule of law. Good and law-abiding governance not only make for better regional neighbors, but also cooperative members of the international community. An Iran that is more respectful of and representative of its citizens will help this august body achieve its central mission, the maintenance of international peace and security. While the Islamic Republic doesn't represent Iran's 2,500 years of rich history and culture, I'll leave you with something that does, a poem, Bani Adam, by the 13th century Persian poet Saadi, which is also inscribed on the United Nations building entrance. Human beings are a member of a whole, in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy remain. If you have no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. The international community should want what the courageous demonstrators in Iran want. It's time for us to stop abetting the Islamic Republic of Iran and start supporting the freedom-loving people of Iran. Thank you.
Thank you, Nazanin. That was an extraordinarily powerful statement. And thank you for your call to support the freedom-loving people of Iran. And that's exactly why we are here today.
Nazanin Boniadi at the UN Security Council, a very powerful plea, a very powerful proclamation for her homeland where she was born. I appreciate her powerful voice. I was reflecting on what she was saying, and that's why I quoted Saad in the beginning, the Persian poet. But I remember also the call of Moses to free the Hebrew slaves from Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a land that is both good and spacious, to a land flowing with milk and honey. This was the confrontation of God, Yahweh, appearing to Moses in the burning bush. He has heard the pleas, the prayers, and the affliction of his people. God understands and has heard the pleas and the afflictions of his people in Iran. And I believe firmly that our God will rescue them and give them freedom and democracy. It says in Psalm 72, and I quote this all the time, Psalm 72 verses 12 through 14, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. God understands betrayal and pain. He took on human flesh in the person of Christ and bore our judgment on a cross, nailed to a cross with excruciating pain. But we have a living Savior who is standing at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us, and he will deliver the people of Iran. I believe that firmly. I want us to hear a powerful song right now from Skillet, dedicated to those women and men protesters, Feel Invincible on the Cross in the Desert.
target on my back, lone survivor last. They got me in the sights. No surrender, no trigger, fingers go. Living the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake, I'm trying to get up, they're knocking me down. Like a rocket up into the sky, nothing can stop me tonight. You make me feel invincible.
Invincible. Keep the Iranian people in your prayers. I will see you again on Thursday for the Cross in the Desert. Thursday, 9:30 a.m., and I will see you again on the next episode of The Cross in the Desert. Have a blessed, blessed week.